It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined this week by Gemma Kaneko.
Hi.
Hi. And Ian Kay.
Hello, world.
Hello, world. Believe it or not, if you're looking at your calendar, don't be confused. It is early in the week this week. We've moved the Cut Forecast. We're recording this now on Mondays, so keep an eye out for that in your phone. We'll be appearing earlier. Obviously, this week, awful lot of us because we just appeared in your phone on Friday as
yes.
well. So, you know, you may be a little sick of us, and we're sorry.
But we're not sick of you.
No, of course. We can never be sick of you. But before we get into the full pod here, there is I have to offer my condolences to the two people sitting to my left. As you know, this is not just a baseball podcast, but it's also partly a soccer podcast. And the soccer team they cheer for, Tottenham Hotspur, had a really embarrassing
go away.
I just need to give them my condolences. Apologies.
It wasn't great.
No,
definitely
it wasn't
great.
It was the opposite of great. It was a great first hour, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For the first 70 minutes, they were leading by 2 goals, at which point in the final 20, they conceded 2 goals, finished in a draw. Now, the smugness in my voice, you're hearing that now because we're recording this on Monday afternoon before my team, Liverpool, is actually at
Oh, Kansas man, today, we so. Should record it after so we could just hopefully just really gloat.
Well, I mean, it's entirely possible that this will be really embarrassing by the time it records.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I really hope so.
But enough soccer. This, who cares about soccer? This is America. Let's talk about America's pastime. I'm aware that I brought it up, but it doesn't matter. We have a tradition here on the Cut Forecast, which is where I try to embarrass the two people sitting next to me, not only about their sporting fandom, but also about their sporting knowledge, in a segment that we call the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz. Now, this week's edition of the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz, we're in the midst of the dog days of the summer right now. The playoff race is starting to heat up. And because of that, we're going to flash back to a year ago. And we're going to flash back to the postseason, actually. And we're going to discuss this question. Can you name each of the 2014 postseason teams? Now, you're going to be competing against each other. So you each name one, and we'll go back and forth until you've named all of them. All right? So who wants to go first? And the idea is you're going to name every single one of the postseason teams from 2014. And if you get through the whole list, I will do my tweet first at the end of the show.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Ian, we'll start with you. Name one 2014 postseason team.
The Royals.
That is correct. Gemma?
Orioles.
That is correct.
Giants.
That is correct, obviously.
Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Athletics.
Yep.
Tigers.
Yep.
Cardinals.
Yep.
Nationals.
Yep.
Dodgers.
Yep. One left.
What do we do? Okay. I don't know if I'm going to remember the other.
So Ian, you're safe.
Yeah. You have won.
The question is whether Gemma loses or I lose.
We already said, I'm trying to think of which league we didn't say.
I know the league.
Well, I'm just trying to go through the matchups.
Right, which league was it?
It's the AL. That's I think we right. got all the NL ones.
You got
yeah,
all
we
the
did.
NL
we
ones.
Did get. Oh, the Angels.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Wow. Good job, Gemma.
Yes. Thanks.
Congrats on your victory. I will go first in our starting out the podcast. That was well done on both of you. Glad that didn't leave your brains after 365 days, fewer than 365 days.
I'm glad these are the things I can remember.
I'm also
of.
Glad the Giants were third to be named, considering well, they won the World Series.
That was
were you going
easy
from
one.
Like the wild card
yeah.
game up?
Yeah, okay,
I was going from
to
World
do that
Series
too.
Down.
Yeah, I was going from wild card up, so I wouldn't forget one. And yet I still took me a while to get the Angels.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. All right, well done, guys. Good job.
Thanks.
That was a good quiz.
If you had done like 2013, I don't think I could have named
that's
any of
harder. That's,
yeah, no, yeah. I would
have. They're gone. Those, I only have a 1 year rolling postseason memory bank.
It'll be weird next year when it'll be like, you know, the Astros and people like that. Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, so, all right, let's get into what do we call it? The meat and potatoes?
We do, because we love food
you guys
so much.
Calling it that.
Yeah, we have.
So,
yes.
The meat and potatoes of the.
I don't know why we don't call it the pancakes and bacon.
Well, we are now.
Yeah, we
pancakes
are.
Dakota, take us into the Soylent of this podcast.
Whoa, no. I refuse.
This got sad. Soylent, gross.
Soylent Green is people, Ian. All right, so here's the first question. And, you know, we're at the beginning of the week, so we're feeling a little bit less silly. It's a little bit more, you know, hard-nosed. We're going to talk about the real baseball news. None of this goofy stuff. We're going to talk about which player is our favorite under-the-radar player. Sort of somebody who you know, maybe they're an all-star, maybe they're not an all-star, but somebody who their year is just, they're having a great year and they're not really being talked about enough. So, Ian, since you're my boss, why don't you go first?
I think we've established that on the podcast, Dakota is the boss.
We have established that, but that doesn't change the rest of the facts.
I will go first. I think we need to talk more about Matt Duffy.
Okay.
Third baseman for the Giants. You know, I feel like in a lot of years, Matt Duffy would be like a pretty obvious Rookie of the Year contender. And because there's so many other great rookies, especially in the NL, he isn't getting, you know, he's not going to win that award. May place in the top five or so, but like, people just aren't talking about this guy who came up. He's hitting over 300. He's got like over 30 extra base hits. He came off of this just assembly line the Giants somehow have of like unheralded infielders that come out of nowhere with, you know, Joe Panic and Brandon Crawford. I think their entire infield is homegrown now.
I think so,
yeah. Impressive. Yeah, you know, another fun fact about Matt Duffy. As I was looking up fun facts
hashtag
about Matt Duffy.
Duff fact.
Duff fact. He didn't play third base in the minors. He was a shortstop coming up. Giants already have a shortstop. So they were just like, why don't you come up and see what goes over there? Just like a funny thing. Like, I guess if you can play shortstop, you can probably play third.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys like Machado, you know, dudes move over there. But like, just to come up and learn that for a team that is contending, I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the Giants are amazing, where they seem to just every
they
year,
just like they pull these guys out of nowhere, too.
I remember with Panic, it was like, or like,
right,
he just came up and everybody was like, oh, the Giants, they haven't solved their problem at second base. And then sure enough, it worked out fine. So it's kind of amazing that they're able to do that. And, you know, obviously it's an odd year, so
I don't know
if it's going to pay off in the long run.
They're in it, but they're fighting.
Yeah, but next year, that'll be them for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, you know, Posey obviously was like a huge prospect. Mm-hmm. I think Brandon Belt became a huge prospect. He kind of blew up somewhere around Double A, I think. Mm-hmm. But like the other guys, you know, these guys weren't on top 100 lists or anything. You know, Panic and Crawford and now Matt Duffy.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely like, I think, the Giants' plan. I think they're doing it. It's not an accident.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope it's not just like a total, like, oh, whoops. I guess. Oh,
whoops, we won a couple World Series.
We invested millions of dollars in this guy and he ran.
Totally, because we accidentally clicked the other button and now we got him.
Is
we
that
got
how
him
prospects good work?
Yeah.
Something like that, I think.
You just like drag and drop them, right? That's mm-hmm how.
Yeah. Well, there are teams, not to harp on soccer, but there are teams in soccer that use the soccer video game Football Manager as their like scouting process.
Well, I get it. Football Manager is really intense.
Yeah, I know.
I played it for 2 hours and I felt like it was my actual job. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it does. Well, yeah, it's that game is like you have to like apply for work visas and stuff. It's like not great.
That's pretty extreme.
But I'm imagining like the Giants are, you know, as part of their scouting process, in addition to all their scouting stuff, they're also like checking RBI baseball and like going
I would assume,
out of the
yeah
park and
mm-hmm
all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone played like Baseball Mogul, which like wasn't quite out of the park but was like almost there, there were guys that just like in the sim engine would always become good. And then like, you know, 3 years after I played it, like they would show up in the majors. Like, oh, I've heard of this guy.
There are dudes who are like that with out of the park where like I always just irrationally love them because they were good like once in one of like my out of the park saves.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, they're great. What a great game. All right, Gemma, who do you think is your like under the radar person?
I thought about a couple of people. You know, I was trying to think of someone that I really didn't think was being talked about enough. I thought about Garrett Cole for a little bit because he had a really great first half, you know, and I really just don't think people were talking about him as much as they were talking about, because there's just been so many amazing pitching feats this year. But he sort of cooled down a little bit. I thought about Chris Archer, but then I remember, like, people really do talk
people
about
love Chris
Archer
Archer
a lot. Yeah. Then I was, like, looking a little bit outside of pitching, and I noticed DJ LeMahieu's numbers from July, and I didn't realize what a great July he had. I was really surprised. He's hitting 400 in July. His batting average on balls in play was really high, like, only second to like Goldie's, I think. That is what I wrote down. So I was impressed, and he cooled off a little bit. But I decided, really, I know this is like not that under the radar, but I feel like people have stopped talking about Corey Kluber because the Indians aren't winning as much. Like, his win-loss record is sort of lopsided. But I still think he's having a really insane season, and we should be talking about him more.
It's true. I mean, yeah. there is something to be said for, like, there are people who are so good we stop talking about them, like Trout.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
he's an example of that, who is just so good that we don't really even talk about his greatness that much.
Right.
And it's boring to do it. And then Kluber definitely falls into that.
Right. Well, I also think it's just because you can't say, like, the game doesn't end with a shutout. He's not, like... Mm-hmm. He's not also hitting home runs at the same time, but he's still, like, eating up innings, and he's not walking people, and he's still striking out everybody. Like, talk about it more. mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think pitching makes less noise just in general.
Right, right, yeah. right. It's not as, yeah, it's not as noisy. Another reason I think people weren't talking about DJ LeMahieu too much is even though he's getting on base so much, he's not hitting a bunch of home runs. I think he only has, like, 5 on the season.
Yeah. Well, in the high BABIP, certainly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's normally a red flag.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. I mean, it's yeah. certainly...
It's just like
a month is a good month.
Yeah, he had a long hitting streak, but really, I think it's also just, you know, maybe sort of it's not going to be consistent with him. Whereas
totally.
Kluber, that's his
Kluber.
New nickname.
The Kluber.
Oh, he has his butts now.
The Kluber.
You know, I just want him to still be at the top of people's pitching lists.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I will say, this is going to be a huge shock, but I cheated a little bit. It's weird to think of like a former MVP as under the radar, but I'm going with Joey Votto.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
Joey Votto, I feel like he's amazing, and I think people stopped talking about how amazing he was. He had the injured year.
Yeah.
He had sort of an off year, and I think everybody kind of forgot that Joey Votto is like this ridiculous on-base machine. The power's come back this year. He has 21 home runs on the year. He is getting on base at a 4.37 clip, which is second only to Goldschmidt and Bryce Harper, and that's also his second highest of his career. He's back. He's great. I think because he's on the Reds and they had a sell-off at the deadline, I think people are not necessarily paying attention to it, but he's doing everything you want a baseball player to do. And obviously he's linked to that contract, and that's just going to be like the way that everybody talks about him from now on. But he's amazing. He's an amazing player who deserves our attention. He's so smart and one of the smartest people who plays the game.
He's so smart. That's what I wish people talked about more, is that how he's like he's actively working to be a better hitter always, and like he's actually paying attention to the feedback he gets, mm-hmm. which I feel like he's looking at numbers in a way that people who play the game rarely do, I think.
Yeah. And yeah. it's not just the numbers too. It's like
yeah.
he obviously pays attention to that, and that's what gets a lot of the ink, but I think also just the way that he talks about the strike zone and looks at the strike zone is different. I know there's an exhibit at the Hall of Fame about Ted Williams, and Ted Williams did this thing where he painted, or he like wrote down on a baseball like what he sort of thought his average was for each point of the zone.
Oh, I've seen that.
And
yeah.
my
it's
favorite
like,
part of that is it's like he's like, oh well, what should I write on? What's around?
I know.
Just grab a baseball. But
like it essentially forms like a heat map of his strike zone. And just you can, and it and essentially it's just what the strike zone looks like to Ted Williams, and
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. And the way that he sort of thought about it, that's, you know, Joey Votto is not Ted Williams, nobody is, but like
uh-huh.
that's how I think he thinks of it, is just this sort of like grid that he can see, and that always amazes me. And his amazing on base percentage is something that just, you know, I feel like we should talk about more.
That's so cool.
He really needed this year too,
yeah.
with that contract and where the Reds are right now. Like they could have turned on him, those fans.
They could have.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Well, and I think that, you know, he's soft-spoken, and I think he, you know, there's aspects of his game that are somewhat iconoclastic that he's sort of run into in the past of, you know, he'd rather get on base instead of knocking in runners and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the stuff that I think media, fans, and guys in the front office, there's always, like, different aspects of what people care about. And so I think you're right that, like, you know, he's been doing the on-base stuff for so long that as long as there needs to be results with it as well for people to sort of accept it and move on with it. So I'm really happy he's one of the 10 best players in the league this year. Always been a big fan of him, and, you know, not enough people are talking about it. The return of Joey Votto. He's back. All right. Well, let's move in to another equally hard-hitting question, and that is this. Suppose you are at a baseball stadium. Rare instance that it may be that you go to the game.
Never. I never go to games.
You're sitting in the outfield,
and you're watching your an opposing team play against your team, and that opposing team, a player on that team, has hit a home run, and you've caught it. Do you throw it back or not, and why? Gemma, let's start with you.
I have 3 bullet points, and they all say no. Throw it back. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
You're not helping. Okay. It's kind of rude. Don't do that. What if you hit someone? It happened.
That did happen.
It happened. And they hit a member of their own team.
And a member of my family.
And a member of your family.
Dakota's cousin, Brett Gardner.
Yes. Don't do it. It's just unhelpful overall. Give it to someone else. Like, just give it to someone else if you hate it that much. Mm-hmm. I approve of that guy who slapped the home run ball out of the other guy's yes. hand while he was trying to throw it back. What a waste. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Okay. Ian, what do you think?
I mean, I struggle with this because on the one hand, I do agree with Gemma that, like, you probably shouldn't throw the ball back on the field. But on the other hand, I have difficulty resisting peer pressure. And, like, when the entire stadium is chanting, throw it back. And, like, if you don't throw it back at that point, you basically have to leave. I still think you shouldn't. I think you should stand strong. I just don't know if I'm that strong.
Oh, I do as I say, not as I do. Yes.
Right, like, I don't know in that situation when everyone's yelling at you to do it and, like, the whole stadium is looking at you because, like, it starts with just the one guy next to you yelling, throw it back, and then it's your row, and then it's your section, and then, like, the entire stadium is looking at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My feeling on this is nuanced. First of all, I agree most of the time, no, you shouldn't throw it back. Keep it. That's a souvenir. If you don't want it, give it to somebody else. I agree with all of that. I think there are corollaries to that. First of all, if you're at Wrigley Field, I feel like you have to throw it back. That's just like a tradition there, and that's where I link that tradition with more than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you hit an opposing player hits one of the bleachers, you got to throw it back. And they do get very vicious if you don't throw it back. So, you know, that's I think that is one of the places where I would say maybe you should throw it back. Obviously, it's a personal choice. If you don't want to do it, don't. But I would lean more towards saying, hey, when in Rome, throw baseballs back. As the Romans do.
As they were well known for doing. Pretty sure that's how the saying goes.
Yes,
that's exactly.
So it was awkward at the gladiator match when, like, the baseballs
Yeah, it was weird. I know. And, like, they're trying to deal with the Tigers and, you know, not the Detroit Tigers, the actual Tigers.
And the Detroit Tigers. Yeah, and they were David all there Price in Rome. There. Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, come on, man. Okay. Rude.
So the other corollary to that is if you're under the age of 13, I feel like you can always hold on to the ball no matter where you are, no matter what's going on. And everybody else who's chanting throw it back, they're the jerks. Don't throw it back. You're a kid.
You're a child. I agree with that. Yes.
That may be, actually. I just thought of this. But, like, maybe that's the answer to the peer pressure. If you give it to a kid,
then you're off the hook. That's definitely it.
The problem is that, like, if you're in left field, how does, like, the Yahoo in right field know that you gave it to a kid?
Yeah. Well, I think it's still people around you see it. And then they'll stop.
Be chill, everybody.
And also, that dude in right field needs to relax.
I know.
He needs to relax.
Yeah, it's none of his business what you do with that ball.
Oh, man. And also, if that guy caught it, he might keep it. We don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a souvenir, ostensibly. That's, like, your property. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever does that with any other piece of your own property. People aren't like, no, throw the hot dog away. No. Like, that chant never happens.
Well, there is the thing, like, in hockey, when somebody has a hat trick and people throw hats on the ice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, those hats are, like, $45 now. Like, you're that pumped. They sweep them off. The guy comes out and, like, sweeps them into the trash. And that was $45.
I would never throw a hat. That's I would not do that. Like, if it was my hat that I wore all the time, I would not throw that onto the ice.
No, that's my favorite thing about watching really old games, where we saw videos at the end when there was, like, no security whatsoever and people are just running on the field and throwing stuff. It's like, that's all your stuff.
Right.
Do you not need your pens and wallets and, like, whatever that you're just raining onto the field? It's very weird.
Was it Detroit that used to throw the octopus on the ice?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And then they banned it or something?
Like, please stop killing octopuses. This is bad.
Octopi.
Yes, yes.
Calamari shortage.
No. Yeah, because of Stanley, the octopus.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's also, Detroit has a really big Greek community, so there's a lot of, you know, you can get them. It's not
in
hard
a big
to
octopus
get them.
Community.
So I'm not going to condone throwing seafood on the field at baseball stadiums, but that was kind of an awesome tradition.
It's disgusting, but pretty cool. But it's also
it's
not
very
like,
hockey.
It's also not like I brought my hockey. Pet octopus here and I'm going to throw it on the ice. Like, it's different if it's yours. Like, no
right,
one.
Yeah. Right.
That also, that took a lot of planning. Because it's not like
yeah, you know, you have to.
How do you get the octopus into the stadium?
Well, did they do it for every win or just a hat trick?
It was generally also for like playoff games.
Playoff games.
It was before the game?
Sometimes in the game. There's really no like.
Detroit, ladies and gentlemen.
Just throwing octopus all the time.
Think about like you're just walking around like you're tailgating with an octopus in your pocket, like. And then you have to reach in with your bare hand, presumably, and grab it.
Yeah.
Well, like, imagine, like, going through security, and, like, they're, like, open the bag, and they take the little stick,
well,
and they
right,
see the octopus.
Well, right, but at the time, right, security wasn't as
that's
intense.
That's true.
Yeah, and as you've seen pictures of the Joe, you were like, is this really where you guys plan
right.
to be? But, yeah, you could just go. And they're not that big. Like, I don't know how big you're picturing an octopus to be.
Yeah, it's, like, a little.
Yeah, it's, like, maybe the biggest ones are like, hands.
Still.
Yeah. Like the size of a very small.
Well, I'm not picturing like Captain Nemo like chucking the octopus out.
Yeah, it's
there,
a Leviathan.
Squid.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. Like
squid.
The first giant squid that we find in the deep, we're gonna dredge up
enormous,
and throw
yeah.
on the ice at a Red Wings game.
America.
That would be really.
That's
good.
What
that
is.
That would be really good. Yeah.
All right. Well. Yeah. Okay. So where do we land on this? No.
No.
Don't throw.
Don't
the
throw the bag. You're gonna hit someone. You're gonna hit someone. Who are you? You're gonna hit someone on the field. You're gonna hit someone else in the stands because we know you can't throw that hard.
Well, it's nice. It is cool though when you do though. Like I like they're not when you hit somebody. That's not cool. But like when you throw it hard and like it ends up at home plate, like that'd be cool.
What?
I also feel like it's
has
difficult.
That happened?
Yeah.
Because like the way the stadiums go, they're tiered like upward.
Yeah.
So even if I was like 20 rows back, I have no idea if I could reach the field. It's hard to tell how far that distance
is. Maybe that's what it is for me.
Because of like the way the seats
oh,
go up.
Because I'm pretty sure I would not reach the field and would hit someone holding a baby. Like I just
well,
know that's what I would
and
do.
And again, that was
a relay throw. You need a cutoff
yeah,
man.
I need a cutoff
in like
fan.
The front row.
Yeah, I do.
No, that would be good. Yeah.
That,
that
would
that
be
would really impressive be if there was
if
a cutoff
man.
If
someone did that, I would be okay with it.
Yeah, but yeah. That, to me, that's the benefit of Wrigley is that like, the bleachers are so close to the field, like
yeah.
it's easy to just toss it back.
Yeah.
But you know, there are many. It's a ground rule, you could say.
Cutoff man keeps it as a souvenir.
That would be sick if somebody like right in the front row like makes an excellent fan catch.
Yeah.
On a ball being thrown back.
That would be really good.
Like you know Manny Ramirez cutoff throw style.
This might be kind of dangerous, but you know what I'd like to see? At stadiums where you can hit it. Out of the stadium,
mm-hmm.
like San Francisco or Boston. Like if somebody then took it from the street and threw it back into the stadium,
that would be
McCubby
epic.
Yeah.
Like Bo Jackson.
Like with a slingshot,
right.
like slingshotting it from a boat.
You would need
back
like a huge arm, but that would be awesome.
That would be really awesome.
Here's what we need to do. We need to talk to Yoenis Cespedes and
yeah.
get him to
yes.
do that. Get
well,
him to
well,
see
we
if
we
that's
talked
possible.
About last time we talked about the shift where you like get in a boat and
yeah.
go in the river. So the next time the Mets play at PNC, he can just get in a little boat and, you
right,
know,
like a kayak.
Be on the Allegheny.
That'd
yeah.
be perfect. We
yeah.
need to make it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yo, listener, I'm sure. And so
I hope.
If, you
yo.
Know, I know that you're listening, Mr. Cespedes. So please, please take our advice and throw a ball back from the river
in that boat.
All right, let's move on here to the final topic. And, you know, this one is exciting because this is our first Monday edition of the Cut 4 Cast, which means that we can look forward rather than backward.
What?
We're not living in the past anymore. We're keeping our eyes forward, progress. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And we're going to talk about which game this week we are most excited to see. All right, Ian, which one of all the games this week, what are you looking forward to the most?
We're recording this on Monday, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Okay.
Hisashi Iwakuma returns to the mound.
Wow.
Following his no-hitter. I think a start after no-hitter is always exciting.
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, even if it's just a regular game, like, there's this moment until he gives up a hit, you're like, can he do it? Can he do it? And, like, the odds are extremely low that he's going to throw another no-hitter. But you get that added level of excitement, you know, until he gives up a hit.
Yeah, I always think about the Mark Burley after he pitched the perfect game. Right, and he was perfect for like 17 batters in the next start. And it was like, oh my gosh, he's going to do it again. That's like amazing. Anytime you can do that is great.
Yeah. Ukumo also faces Chichi Gonzalez. It's great to have a Chichi back in the sports world.
So true.
Since Chichi Rodriguez retired. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Chichi Rodriguez just every time often. Every time I see Chichi Gonzalez's name, I think of And like, it's funny that to me, he's not even a golfer. He's a pitch man for those like magnetic wrist bracelets. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He does commercials. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I think of when I see Chichi Gonzalez.
Those magnetic bracelets, which definitely work.
Definitely work.
So real. Yes.
Definitely improve your balance and your golf swing.
All of the above.
Is that what they're for? Is that what they say? They make you a better golfer?
Yeah. That's what Chichi said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why he was endorsing
it. It's a balance thing, allegedly.
Okay.
Centers your gravity
that
or something.
Sounds right.
Yes. Magnets and...
And the Earth's magnetism.
Yeah,
magnetic fields,
your own
the band, magnetic
fields.
They just are there.
Yeah, the band, they play, they perform.
In the bracelet.
Yes, exactly. Okay. All right, Gemma, what game are you most looking forward to this week?
I'm looking forward to a couple series, actually. I couldn't pick a specific game because I'm not really sure how, pitching matchups are going to fall out. But really excited to see the Giants and the Pirates series this weekend. It'll be fun, wild card rematch, especially when the Giants are actually kind of fighting a little hard to stay in contention. I think that'll be exciting. I just really am having fun watching the Pirates try to pick up ground in their division.
I love the Pirates.
Me too. I think they're such a good time. I have a friend who's a really intense Pirates fan, and every game is just really high stakes.
Jenna, we all know Michael Clark.
Yes, also Anthony.
Is there any other kind of Pirates fan than like a really intense Pirates fan?
Well, you have to be. I mean, they weren't good for so long that like if you stuck it out, then you're probably pretty intense.
Yeah, and they get really into like the pirate aspect of it as well.
I love raising the Jolly Roger.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's the best. Well, I told you, right after he got married, they like went to a Pirates game. That's what they did. So,
good honeymoon.
Yeah.
It's a solid
honeymoon.
Besides
that, I'm also excited for the Blue Jays Angels series.
Yes.
Because depending on how that falls out, that could really change how the wild card standings look. Mm-hmm. And since that has been so much of the fervor of games, like so many games have just felt, have had that playoff atmosphere, I feel like, over the last week and a half. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to more upsets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good options.
Yeah. Those are my feelings.
Would watch.
Great. Good.
Ian K. : Would watch baseball.
Would watch baseball. Go. I right. would watch that baseball.
We have the Ian K. seal of approval on our sport. I had two. One was Wednesday. Detroit is traveling to Chicago to take on the Cubs. Daniel Norris versus John Lester. Obviously.
You picked a Tigers game and I didn't.
I know. I picked a Tigers. I love Daniel Norris, man.
Who I also love Van Daniel
down by
Norris.
The river, who does not love Daniel Norris? And obviously Lester's starts are all must-see because you never know if he's going to throw over to first or not and what might happen. And then obviously playoff implications as well with the Cubs. But the one I'm even more excited for, kind of an odd choice, is also tomorrow on Tuesday. Toronto at Philadelphia, R.A. Dickey versus Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola was number two prospect in the Phillies organization. That team has been red hot since the All-Star break. They're 4-5 in their last 10. But before that, I mean, they really were on a tear. And Toronto, obviously, is a half game behind the Yankees for first place in the AL East. So that's, like, a very tough race. And then Dickey himself has also been fantastic in the last month. So that's probably where I'm going to be watching are those two matchups. I don't know if you guys have any interest in watching those games.
Also, I never watch Tigers games. Watch okay. Never, ever. No,
yeah, you never watch the Tigers.
I will obviously be watching that game.
I'm a big Aaron Nola fan. I think he's going to be really good.
He still have the goatee. He got that right.
It's a
bad goatee.
Fire.
It can't be that good. I feel like the last time
I'm a big fan of watching him pitch, but like he has that thing, and I'm like that straight out of 1997.
I feel like the last time I'm thinking about looking at his face, and I don't remember him having much of one. It was like a little sparse.
I think he does.
He has
that like kind of chill like.
But it's not like. Like, it's like a shadow on his face,
it's like
right?
Red. It's like kind of red.
Yeah. That's what I, it's not,
It's the kind of thing that he'll look back at, we'll all look back at, at his Hall of Fame induction, and be like, what was he thinking at that moment?
I talked to him at the All-Star game, and I asked him about that. I asked him about his style and what he was thinking, like, in the future, what he'll do as an MLB-er, and he was like, I'm just going to be the same guy, t-shirt, slacks, that kind of thing.
So slacks. He seemed very he probably didn't say slacks. It was probably my misquoting of him. But he seems very comfortable in his goatee and with his fashion. So we'll see.
Good for him then.
Yeah, good for him.
If he changes.
You know what? Work on the hold on to that goatee.
All right. Well, next week we'll do the judging everybody's style and
I will judge everybody's facial hair.
We always are. We always are.
We need Claire for that.
Did we not all give that as our prospect advice? At least we did. Ian and I did.
I think we did, yeah.
Like, have good facial hair.
It's very important.
And style. Yes.
Stees.
Stees.
Which we've discussed
yes.
before.
We've discussed. Absolutely. Most important. Sixth tool. Stees.
The sixth tool. I really look forward to scouts and MLB sitting like, you know, the Pahrump Nevada watching some single A team or filling out their scouting report. Ah, he's got a 60 stees.
Like, that's pretty good.
I listened to the podcast and you guys were talking about stees, and that was like 2 weeks ago, I think. And I still have no idea if you made it up or it's like a real term.
No, that's a real
term. It's a real term.
I wish we made it up.
I'm not convinced.
That would
style
be...
plus ease is stees.
Please.
Come on.
Stees, please.
I'm still not sure.
Ugh.
You know, you're a hater. It's okay.
I'm not a hater. I just don't know if it's like a real portmanteau or you just made it up.
A portman what?
As opposed to a portman one. Okay, we've gone off the rails here. Guys, you know what time it is. It's time to take everything that we have learned and discussed in this week's episode of the Cut Forecast and condense it down into a chunk that is much more entertaining than the past 30 minutes. This was boring.
It was so boring.
You know, millennials these days, they don't have time to sit down and listen to a whole podcast. They need to get all this information in a tweet. They're living at home. It's, you know, it's time for the millennials.
They're so busy living at home
exactly.
that they can't listen
to the podcast. They can't listen to the podcast. Their attention spans are so short. It's just millennials.
As millennials all.
So what we need to do is we need to take it all and sum it up into one tweet. 140 characters that just really...
condense it into a yik-yak.
Into a yo. Just into a yo. All right. So because you guys won the Cut Forecast pop quiz,
naming
all of the postseason teams of 2014, I will be condensing the Cut Forecast episode into a single tweet, and I will go first. Here we go. Joey Votto is amazing. Don't throw his home run balls back. Period. Tweet. That was me hitting the tweet button after my tweet.
Gotcha. Not just hashtag.
Kind of minimalist.
Tweet.
Yeah, you know. Anybody who follows me on Twitter at Dakota Gardner knows that mostly what I tweet are just frowny faces and various soccer players' last names in all caps. So.
Yep. Can't confirm that's accurate.
Yeah, that's pretty much
that's
all
true.
It is. All right, Gemma, you came in second.
Right, clearly, I did come in second.
You and Ian.
It's fine.
So why
it's
don't
fine.
You go next?
Okay. Mine is going to be OMG, all caps, obviously, colon, the Cut Forecast actually talked about baseball this week. And that's it. That's all.
All right.
It's a good tweet.
It's a good tweet. I would retweet that because it's true.
Yeah.
And rare. Ian, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to say, if Matt Duffy wants to get out from under the radar, he'll throw a home run ball back into AT&T Park.
Ooh.
Hashtag stees.
Good. Yes.
That's good. Uh-huh. Excellent hashtag. Now, question, do you spell stees with an E at the end or not?
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me how to spell stees.
Yeah. give
I think, yes, E's has an E at the end.
Mm.
But how do you... No. Okay, no. You don't spell stees. Stees only has two E's.
Listen to her.
Is it...
Woman speaks the truth.
S-T-E-E-S?
Z. S-T-E-E-Z.
It's not stees.
But it's like E's. Is it like EZ?
It's similar.
STEE, capital EZ.
The E's. Well, you know what? We'll, when the podcast is over, we'll go. We'll give
okay.
you the
Well,
breakdown.
Yeah, we'll show you
I'm
the whole the OED entry that I'm sure exists.
We'll break it down for you. Don't worry about that, Ian.
Yeah, it'll be great.
But we're out of time. But thank you so much for listening. This week, if you liked this podcast, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. And while you're there, you can write us a review and you can rate us 5 stars, obviously. Or, you know, if you have issues with Ian spelling Steve's, you can
don't blame this on me.
4 stars. That's acceptable, too. If you write us a review, we will read it on the Cut Forecast next week. That's pretty cool.
It's so cool.
So cool. Yeah.
I would review it, but that wouldn't be very cool.
No, that would be extremely lame. Yeah. Please don't review our podcast.
Just so that you would read it on the podcast.
Yeah, the review would be like, it's lame. The host.
I would give it one star.
Gemma's not getting enough voice time on the podcast. She used to go to her read
Except
her
for
review.
Gemma, she's so great.
If you like Cut 4 in general, if you like us, you can go to MLB.com/Cut4 and you can read all of the things that we write and you can read all about the other bizarre happenings in the world of baseball. You can follow us on Twitter @Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/Cut4. Pretty much, if you want to get Cut 4, you can get it however you want to get it. It's that simple. That's how we roll. We're here for you. And we want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Cut 4 Cast. We wouldn't do it if it weren't for you listening. So thank you so very much. Thank you, Ian, for being here this week.
Sure. Anytime.
Sure.
Whenever I get invited.
Thank you, Gemma, for being here as always.
You know what? You're welcome.
Thank you. But mostly thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.